everything has its place.
Right.
This isn't a sentence. You're not in jail.
No.
You're not fixed to a certain thing. It's your birthday, go out and enjoy it. There is no obesity gene. We're obese because of how we act and how we diet.
All right, hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have Dr. Greg Derderian of New Image Med Spa. Welcome to the studio, Greg.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Here. All right. Well, let's just jump right in. Greg, tell me about your journey into New Image Med Spa.
Well, for years I did general surgery, then cardiothoracic surgery. And in the vascular and thoracic side of it, back in the 80s, we were using the NDAG laser. In the 90s, we were using a CO2 laser. So I was already familiar with the technologies well before they ever came out in aesthetics. 2003, I happened to be with a group that had a laser they weren't using. And one thing just led to another. All of a sudden, this whole business exploded. And as we did things in the office, we got busier. Over time, I was fortunate to become number one injector in Michigan for wow. Botox.
Yeah.
And that gave me a large practice base to work with. And I've been doing permanent fat loss since 2003. It was originally called mesotherapy or lipotherapy. So I always stayed away from the weight loss drugs initially. I was very skeptical of them. I think initially there really wasn't good data out there. And I had followed weight loss from VelaShape, VelaSmooth, Zerona, all these different diets that were out there. And everything was always temporary. People would do these things. They'd spend a lot of money. They'd go on a diet for months. It didn't last. That's the same way I perceived this initially. And so I pretty much stayed out of the field. Plus, there were side effects with it, risks that they initially were really promoting pretty heavily that probably weren't as true as they made them out to be. And then there was a significant cost. And then what do you do when you're done getting your weight loss?
Yeah.
Then I had a patient come in just this last fall, and he comes in periodically from another state. Doc, I lost 60 pounds. I said, yeah, you look, I can tell. He said, but the girls I'm dating tell me I don't look healthy. I said, well, unfortunately you don't. He
yeah.
had the Ozempic face. He looked like he was malnourished.
Yeah.
But he still had the fat around his abdomen and love handles. He said, I can't get rid of these. And that really goes back to the basis of everything that we're doing. We're still hunters and gatherers. We're all programmed to hold weight in certain areas. Either usually it's the abdomen and love handles or it's the thighs. And that's because genetically, as hunters and gatherers, there were times where you didn't have a food supply. So that fat was your energy source to get you through lean times. Well, we're in a different era now. And I had been doing permanent fat loss in those areas since 2003, and all of a sudden it struck me that, well, maybe I should be combining that with these so that you don't have to be on the drugs as long and that you can come off it and be healthier. And then when you look at obesity in general, I think our obesity range is now something up to almost 45-50%. In 2001,
yeah,
it was 23%. Now we're over 45% of the population's obese. And there's just huge health risks there. I think the incidence of cancer is sevenfold. The incidence of cardiovascular disease, heart disease, blood vessel disease in your extremities, it's almost 35%. And the risk of stroke's over 40%. So there's a lot of risk with being obese. And I think that made me really look at this. Okay, there's ideal weight, there's obesity, but then there's a whole range in between. So that range in between where we're overweight, but we're not obese, we definitely aren't lean, you know, what are the risk factors there? That's not, I don't think, ever really going to be studied, but you know it's somewhere in between obesity and normalcy. So
yeah, and lap band surgery too. You know, everyone wants the quick fix, but then they don't follow along with the lifestyle change protocol. So,
and all these things carry their own risks with them, and yeah, their own debilities risk with them.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to figure out is a better way to not only get healthy but be healthy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you guys offer quite an array of services at New Image. I've known you for years, and you have on the freezing fat loss area and the love handles and
the midsection. Cool Sculpt, we don't.
Cool Sculpt thing.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Cool Sculpt because we were doing the fat loss back in from 2003 forward. Cool Sculpt was the first out of the box that really eliminated fat.
Okay.
And looked at that technology and came very close to getting into it. But then Liposonics came out with an ultrasound device. Cutera came out with a radio frequency device. The problem with CoolSculpt was the volumes you lost weren't always as they predicted.
Yeah.
But more importantly, there wasn't skin tightening with it. So now you had skin laxity. Now you have to do something for the skin laxity. Fortunately, we didn't get involved in it because, as it turns out, over the years, we've found there's something called saponification, where the fat will actually form like a soapy, dense substance. And wow, that's almost, without surgery, that can't get rid of that. So CoolSculpt was an okay technology.
But you stayed away from that. I'm glad that I brought that up because I know you don't offer it, but I was always curious about that. I've never experienced that. I've never had it, and I've never known anybody that has. But, you know, for the audience, just...
Well, we trialed it. We looked at it, and then I went out to look at Liposonics because theirs actually was focused ultrasound, which had better results. When I went out there and trialed it, it was extremely painful. You could take a narcotic and still be uncomfortable.
Wow.
And at the same time, across the bay in San Francisco, Cutera was coming out with their device, which is radio frequency based today. And radio frequency has become very big in the marketplace for all areas. And this had the same amount of fat loss as CoolSculpt, but you also had the skin tightening with it. So you kind of had twofold things.
Interesting.
What we found was, though, whenever you look at any of these marketing things, you have to look at their white papers, you have to talk to their engineers, you have to really look into it. Because when they say there's a 30% fat loss, they're talking about a 30% fat loss of the depth that it penetrates. So if it's only penetrating an inch and a half, you're only losing 30% of that inch and a half or
right.
less.
Right, wow.
So really, if you're someone that's in pretty good shape, you could have a pretty good result. If you were someone that were overweight and you really had to do multiple treatments, cost becomes prohibitive. In a matter of three or four treatments, you don't even see a change. And so we only use even TrueSculpt, which we bought for that purpose. We only use it in certain areas where it's more efficient, maybe under the chin, maybe the jowls. But using it on the body, we use it more for skin tightening or for cellulite.
Interesting. Okay, so TrueSculpt, that can be used in the face region then.
You can.
Okay, interesting. And what is that sensation?
So it's just a warm, it's a heat feeling. You're stimulating, you're building collagen, but you're also eliminating fat. So you want to do it below the cheekbones for the jowls.
I was just going to say jowls.
You use other tightening procedures for the upper face because you don't want to lose fat in this area.
Okay.
So, and it tightens and it pulls back, it does really well. But all these things we were doing for fat reduction or permanent fat loss for years. The benefit of the fat loss is if you eliminate fat cells, we don't make new fat cells. So once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
And that's something that people always ask about the weight loss. Well, when I go off the drug, is it going to come back? Well, no, it's not going to come back there. So if you imagine an area around your abdomen, maybe you have 3 pounds of fat around your abdomen. If you eliminate those fat cells and put 3 pounds on, but spread it over your entire body, you're barely going to notice it. So that's one of the big differences of what we're doing. The other thing was the cost of the drugs with these new programs. You know, this has become, they're very expensive. Yeah. Insurance will only cover certain things. People are buying them online. When you buy it online, you don't know what product you're getting. No one's really managing it. They get around that. Even those who are prescription drugs, they get around the fact that you have to have a prescription to get them with telehealth. Telehealth is really bred out of the COVID era. And so now you can call a compounding pharmacy. They can have a physician that they've tagged on staff. You do an intake form. You've got a script for your weight loss drugs, and they're sent to you, and you manage your own weight loss.
Yeah.
There's just all sorts of problems fraught with that problem, with that.
Because there's no oversight or medical advice.
No oversight. Guidance. No one's really following you. No one's really guiding you. And one of the other problems you run into is if you look at dosing, the doses are pretty much fixed. First month, for example, we use tirzepatide. The first month is 2.5 milligrams every week. The next month is 5. Next month is 7.5. Next month it's 10, then 12.5, finally 15 milligrams. If you're not being supervised, you're going to follow that protocol.
Right.
A lot of docs that are just doing this for the weight loss side of it, they're following that protocol. Well, the higher doses, more side effects you're going to have. I think we have probably 80% of our patients are in that 5 milligram range, or in that second dose for the whole time they're on the drug. They start out on the first dose. We have very few people over that. So you minimize the side effects. You minimize the cost. It just makes it more efficient. But the lack of supervision is a huge problem. And I think that's where R.F. Kennedy has his issue, is people are taking these drugs. They're trying to lose weight. They're going off the drugs. Statistically, only 58% of people even complete a course of therapy because probably either the cost or as they're increasing the dose, the side effects.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And then 85%, the data's out there, 85% of people within the first year will put their weight back on. So you really have 15% benefit for all that money that's been spent, all that time and all that effort.
So it's not worth it. You want to be supervised by a medical professional and guided through that process.
Yeah, I think you really need to be. And I think it needs to be someone that is truly looking at this from a wellness perspective, not a weight loss perspective.
Yeah, exactly. It's overall health.
Obesity, there is no obesity gene. We're obese because of how we act and how we diet. So whether it's socioeconomic factors, whether it's health reasons, there's metabolic diseases, thyroid disease, adrenal disease, polycystic ovaries, all these things that push toward obesity. You have the ability, what's your ability to obtain food? You know, are you eating fast food? Are you eating, can you afford nutritional food, whole foods, that type of thing?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that play into it. And then there's our activity level. Our activity level is tremendously decreased over the years. When I was younger, you had to take physical education in school. You didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You don't do that anymore.
That's out the window. They don't even do that at school anymore. Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
That's what I've heard too, that there's no gym class. Yeah.
So all those things play into it. Then you have something called epigenetics. Epigenetics are, you have a set of genes that program you for a certain being. When you interface with that, with your daily activities, the epigenetics then take effect and promote that. So they can affect the way genes express themselves. No one's born to be a 250-pound linebacker.
Right.
No one's really born to be a 5'2", 250-pound person.
Yeah.
Those things we do by activity and diet. So when you look at epigenetics, if you are sedentary long enough and you're just playing video games or just watching television or not exercising, eventually your body's going to morph into that. Epigenetics will make that your lifestyle, basically. Right. On the other side of the coin, if you're an athlete and you're trying to set world records, epigenetics helps you get there too. So once you've sustained a pattern, it kind of keeps you in that format. Not that it can't be changed, but that's your lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's what you have to be willing to change. And quite frankly, what I'm experiencing is most people want to change. It's how do you do it? And that's the tough part.
Finding coaches and medical professionals to guide you through that process. Yeah.
Because I think people have the willpower.
Yeah.
There's a graph that shows on aging. It's actually on females. So at age 10, your basal metabolic rate skyrocketing. Age 20, very stable, still really high. 30 is kind of the tipping zone. After 30, your basal metabolic rate starts to slow down, and it continues to slow down. So now you've got the young, energetic person you can't keep up with, the teenager who's flying fast, the middle-aged mom who's starting to slow down a little bit, and then every year slows down beyond that. Females lose 8% of their muscle mass every decade after age 30. Men after age 50 lose 10% of their muscle mass. And that's a huge thing in overall health.
Yeah.
You're well aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, because I'm approaching.
Well, but you're also very involved in the metabolic healthy lifestyle and muscle building and that type of thing.
Yeah, I try to keep up. Yes, I am athletic and luckily genetically blessed. So, I mean, with metabolism and things like that, but I mean, you still have to keep up on your nutrition, your mental health and physical activity.
You're not really maintaining yourself with your genetics. It's your epigenetics, your activity
right.
that you've done, that you willfully do and you promote. And that helps keep you healthy.
Absolutely.
Now, the other thing we're transitioning into this before we got into the weight loss side of it, is we have equipment now that you can actually build muscle. There's equipment you can, with four treatments, you can increase muscle mass in arms, legs, core, glutes, 26%, four treatments, four 30-minute treatments. So I was already looking at that from a perspective of helping my father-in-law first out of a walker, you know, because as you age and you lose muscle mass, you become less active. You have an incident that hospitalizes you or an accident, now you're even less active. So now you're from walker to wheelchair. In this day and age, wheelchair to memory care.
Yeah.
And none of us really want to live that way. But we have to start addressing that now. So I was looking at it from the perspective of helping the aged keep out of the walkers, keep more mobile and more active, as well as we were contemplating trying to figure out how to help wounded vets restore strength in muscle groups.
Amazing.
Now, all of a sudden, you're in the weight loss program, but now you also have muscle building things. Now you're looking at overall wellness. When I was a kid, if you were 70 years old, you weren't long for this world.
Yeah.
They were really considered old people. In fact, grandparents lived with their families because they could help cook, clean, and do things. Well, now that we're living into our 80s and 90s, now we're getting in over the 90s, and we're still alive, but we've lost that muscle mass. We've lost that general health. Now we need 24-hour care. Can't be done at home. Right. You know, that has to be done in a facility. So we have more and more people going into these facilities. If you look at the overall longevity of people, and when I looked at the Bible when I was younger, it was this person lived 130, this person lived 160. Thought, what kind of calendar are they using? But now that I'm doing all this, I look back and think, now, wait a minute, at 90, they were still tending their flocks.
Yes.
They were eating healthy. They were exercising. They were sleeping regularly. They didn't have all the distractions that we have. So they probably were. Now you couple that with 10 years ago, we were living to our 80s and 90s. Now we're looking at hundreds. The next generation, probably 110, 120 might be foreseeable. So if we don't maintain the body mass and the activity level and the general health, we're going to be spending way too many of those years in a facility where we're in lockdown. And
then there's even less activity.
Less activity.
Yeah.
It's literally depressing. I know in my generation, we all say, hey, when we get to that point, just let me go.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen that quickly. It happens very slowly. Yeah. And you end up getting into that trench. And now you're in one of those facilities. And again, I don't think any of us want to be there. So this isn't weight loss. This is body health. This is metabolic health.
Yeah.
And there are those who would say that muscle is the currency of metabolic health.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I had a unique experience as a teen. 15, I got a job in a nursing home, and I was the laundry guy. So I'd wash the blankets and the aprons from the kitchen and all this. And just being a 15-year-old, back then, we didn't have cell phones and all of these distractions. So I had a lot of time on my hands in between washing the loads. I would go visit the folks down in the units and socialize with them and have conversations. And so I got a unique perspective by watching that group. And I connected with a lot of folks in the dementia wing of the nursing home. And so a lot of that, yeah, nutrition is mental health. And getting into watching the amount of activity that they didn't have, you know, I mean, you have to be also willing to participate too. And if your mind's not there to be willing to participate, then you're just, yeah, you're sedentary, you're aging, and then you're just waiting to die at that point.
And I think there's a lot of data out there that shows that with decreased physical activity, there's decreased mental activity.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, obesity accelerates all of that.
Yeah.
And so metabolic health, getting everything in balance is huge. I was just talking with a friend that we might be doing something with him for the long-term strengthening, or not bodybuilding, but strength exercise,
yeah,
which has become a lot more important nowadays. He's 66-year-old and almost looks like the Hulk. He's very muscular.
Yeah.
But he's also sharp in his mind, very little body fat, exercises regularly. The activity is so crucial as we get older. And when we look at it from on the Body Perfect side, which is our program, Body Perfect, we focus on the quads and the glutes. So first, we want to get you down to a healthy weight. That metabolically makes you feel better, makes you just have more energy. And then the quads are strength of gait. So when you're climbing stairs, keeping you out of a walker, quad strength's important. Obviously, you can do any muscle group. We focus on the quads because it's my belief that if the quads are strong, the hamstrings will follow behind. If you're doing it with your quads, your hamstrings will catch up. You don't have to necessarily treat both. Ideally, you would.
Yeah.
But if you have to pick one, that's the one to pick. And then the glutes are stability. So your stability and gait. So if you have the strength and stability and gait, you're more active. If you're more active, you're more likely to be able to drive. If you're more active, you're more likely to do things, interact with people, mental acuity is better. That's where we're looking at longevity. That's why we call this more of a wellness and longevity program, not a weight loss program.
Yeah. Now, what is that process like for if someone's coming in to work on the quads and the glutes? Like,
it's an electromagnetic resonance with radio frequency. You place a device on the muscle group. It's a 30-minute treatment. It has different hertz rates, so you have different contraction rates. But an athlete, an Olympian athlete, if he's working, say, his core, his abs, maximum, he can get those to 62% maximal contraction of that muscle group. With this device, you get it to 92% contraction of maximum contraction. And you do that without any soreness later. The hertz rates are such they maximally stimulate the muscle, but then there's another hertz rate that's lower energy that actually breaks down the lactic acid. So you're not sore afterwards, you're not sore the next day, but you worked out more than anyone else could in the gym.
Wow.
We're seeing people that they don't tell they're doing this, and then they're working out in the gym. Why are you doing better than I am? Why are you progressing so fast?
Results.
It's because you can do these things. And these things aren't something you want to do continuously. Mm-hmm. You might want to do it to get you to the next level.
Yeah.
If you're older, you might want to do it to just bring your strength back, build some of that muscle mass that you've lost.
So for an older person with those goals, how many treatments would you recommend that someone get?
Four 30-minute treatments will improve any body mass, muscle mass, 26%.
Would that be over the course of 4 months, like once a month?
You usually do them once a week.
Once a week for a
month. And it takes about 10 weeks from your last treatment to see all the full results. But people, by the time they're doing their third or fourth treatment, already notice an improvement.
Wow. Fantastic.
So it's really the technology that we have nowadays is just accelerating us into the future. The capabilities we have to live longer and live better, we have them. Now we have to put them together. You know, when RFK looked at this and said, you know, he doesn't think this is a good program. He doesn't think these weight loss drugs are a good idea. The thought of taking a drug, losing the weight, he knows you're going to put it back on. That's not a good concept. And I agree with that. But if you do it in conjunction with the other things, that would be grand.
Right.
I think. So what he proposes, and I agree 100% with, is our food chain. We need to fix our food chain.
Yeah.
Compared to Europe, compared to things here,
oh, yeah.
You know, everything, unfortunately, in this country has become corporate. You know, the more you can market, the more you can sell. Doesn't matter what you're putting into it. If it attracts people to eat more of it, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
That cycle has to be broken. That's great for people that are under 30 now, because in the next 10 years, I think we'll evolve to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to benefit them. But for us, if we don't address these things now, we're going to be behind the eight ball. It's too late for us to really partake in the long-term benefits of that. It will as we get older, but that's a couple of decades from now. So that's, I think if more people did the program this way, and we'll get into that in a second, I think our overall health would be much better. And that's what I'm seeing with our patients. We get them down to their weight. We eliminate the fat where they don't want it, so they're confident it's not coming back. We build their muscle strength, and they just, everyone so far, we just started this in the fall, and of the 30 patients who are in treatment right now, probably 10 have finished. They all feel better. They go on vacation. They still cheat a little bit, but they're not putting weight back on.
Yeah.
They've already gotten into that lifestyle. It takes 2 months to form a habit, 2 months to break a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I think basic training, one of the first things they want to do is get everybody on the same sleep schedule.
Right.
Yeah. So once you form a habit, it's easier to keep. So our patients were averaging 8 to 10 pounds of weight loss a month. So if someone's losing 20, 30 pounds, it's going to take about 3 months to 4 months. And during that time, meeting with them weekly, looking at their diet, are they losing the weight consistently? What are they doing? What should they be shifting? It's not just what you eat, it's when you eat. It's not how you exercise, it's when you exercise. And those things, most people aren't even aware of.
Right.
You're probably more aware of that.
Yeah. No, I'm aware, yes. And I'm part of a large network of fitness fanatics and gym owners and nutritionalists. So I get a lot of insights from them that helps me along too. So,
and fortunately, more of that's available. I mean, I tell my patients a story. My brother was stationed at the Presidio years ago. And I had my dad had a cousin in Fresno, grew table grapes. So we drove down to Fresno and spent a weekend with him, and get up in the morning, you have bacon and eggs and potatoes and toast and jelly and coffee and juice. And then for lunch, she made these enchiladas, two of them that hung off the side of the plate.
Yeah.
Ate a light supper. He and I gained 6 or 7 pounds that weekend. They didn't gain an ounce.
Yeah.
Because they ate that and they worked all those calories off.
You're right.
And in the evening, they ate a supper, which was much leaner, much healthier, and then went to bed. What we do is we try to diet at breakfast. We try to not eat lunch or skimp at lunch. We had a big dinner, and then we go to bed.
Yeah.
A few hours later.
Exactly.
That's not a way to lose weight. You need to. And the other thing people do is if you consistently skip breakfast every day, your body's programmed to eventually shut the metabolism down during that time of day.
Yeah.
So you're really not doing a benefit. You're better off having a decent meal, having a healthy meal, work those calories off, have your next meal. And if you pace that, and then if you combine that with exercise, doing some type of exercise after your evening meal, even if it's just a walk, I like to do about 3 or 4 miles on the bike.
Yeah, okay.
And if you do those things, you're going to consistently maintain or lose weight.
Yeah, I like the walk. So I do 2 miles in the morning, 2 miles in the evening. And another thing I picked up at the nursing home, to your point about when you eat, I noticed when I was at the nursing home as a teenager, they ate their big meal at lunch. They had a nice breakfast. They ate like dinner for lunch and then soup and sandwich. Like
as many of the Europeans do.
Yes. So they had a very light dinner, but yeah, it all ties up. Yeah.
Well, you know, the Industrial Revolution changed everything we do in this country.
Yeah.
And then we got into the post-war effect, and then we got into the monetization of the food chain. All those things have led us to where we are today. What do we do socially? We go out in the evening and have a big meal and drink.
Yes, so, alcohol is another key factor. That's another key factor in weight gain too. And do you kind of talk to your patients about managing all of those components while on these programs?
Yes and no. Everything has its place.
Right.
This isn't a sentence. You're not in jail.
No.
You're not fixed to a certain thing. It's your birthday, go out and enjoy it.
Of course.
You know, have a drink, have a pastry, have a nice meal. It's just everything's moderation. You know, this is a slow lifestyle change that's your way of life.
Yeah.
When you make something a habit, that's your habit. If you have a habit of snacking, you're going to snack.
Right.
If you have a habit of eating conservatively or prudently, doesn't mean you can't binge once in a while.
Of course.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Then you just make up for it.
Yeah. So, I absolutely reward myself regularly. Yeah. You know, if I'm hungry for a burger, I grab a burger, but that's not my main go-to. You know, I eat reasonably and keep up on that.
And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people fail. They try to go on this rigid regimen.
Yeah.
That isn't sustainable. You have to, and so
fad diets,
not eating,
right.
You know, losing weight, but then it comes right back.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable. And one of the things we do is once you're in a program, so our average patient, we do have some patients, we have a patient losing 70 pounds, be on the medication for probably 6.5 months, 7 months, just as long as they're consistently losing weight. Once you're on the program for the next year, we allow you to get back into the program, anything you want, whether it's permanent fat loss, whether it's muscle building, whether it's another month of the medication for half price. So anything you want to do to sustain, that you can sustain that for a year, because my feeling is if you sustain it for a year and you actually look and feel better, you're going to sustain it for a long term.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you have a lot of success stories coming up.
And quite frankly, we haven't found many people falling off the off the bus yet.
That's great. I knew a lot of people that got the lap band surgery because that was a huge craze. Like, it went crazy. And a lot of people did not, you know, adhere to a lifestyle change. They continued to binge eat and then put the weight back on. And then that's a whole process. And just...
And the other thing I think people aren't really paying attention to is these drugs, you're not losing all fat. 25% of the weight loss is lean body mass.
Yeah.
Bone, muscle, organs, mostly probably muscle.
Yeah.
So if you're doing this and you're losing muscle mass, you take a person that's, say, 50 years old. Between 50 and 70, they're going to lose 20% of their muscle mass. Now they're on this drug, and they're going to lose another 25% of their muscle mass. That's not healthy.
Right.
That's why it's so important to make sure that you're incorporating, if it's not the gym, at least do the medical gym or these devices that we have to build muscle. Because yeah. There's a downside to these drugs. Other than just looking good and feeling good, you can go too far with it. You can lose too much muscle mass with it. Everything's a balance. So that's why I'm surprised that telehealth, I guess there's no way to really rein it in. But getting these things from pharmacies with a doc that you fill out a check form and they maybe they screen you over a telehealth session.
Right.
And they're now managing your weight loss. I don't think that's a good idea. I'm very concerned about that.
Yeah. So when your patients come in, do they and they start running the program, nothing is telehealth. The follow-ups aren't telehealth.
They have for my program. You have to come in weekly.
Weekly, got it.
Come in weekly.
In person.
You weigh yourself. I have them all weigh themselves on their own scale because that's the most consistent. Oh, first thing in the morning, their own scale. During the day, there's so much variation.
Yeah.
Hydration, meals, type of clothing you're wearing. So they weigh themselves first thing in the morning. And every week they come in and we go through that weight and we see where they're at and how they're progressing. And then we go over their diet, go over exercise, try to be encouraging where they need it. But really what we're seeing is very few people aren't without any real major modification. They're doing it on their own.
Yeah.
You know, we direct them a little bit to shift how they're eating or how they're exercising. I have one patient that just absolutely doesn't want to exercise.
Yeah.
Financially, she's could do whatever she wants to do. So for her, she really needs the muscle building.
Sure.
Because if we keep her on these drugs and don't build her, at least her glutes and her quads.
Yeah.
You have to have the strength of stability. And as long as you're maintaining that, then these things are safe. But if you're losing that at the same time you're losing weight, you're not healthy. And people that have the Ozempic face or they look malnourished, that's negatively impacting their metabolic health too.
Now, what is the difference between tirzepatide and Ozempic?
So there's two, basically right now, the two main classes of drugs are semaglutides, which is the Ozempic. It's a GLP-1. So basically it tells your body that you're full. It tells your brain that you're not hungry. The tirzepatide is a GLP-1 GIP. So it also slows the food going through your stomach, so it makes you feel full longer.
Okay.
But both of them, basically, it's the central acting. They reduce the cravings, your craving for food or desire for food, feeling that you're hungry. And that's how they work. There's a third generation that's coming out. It's in Europe right now, and you can buy it online, I guess, here. It's not even through phase 3 trials, so why people do it, I'm not sure, but right. It's being trialed in India. And so somehow the black market's getting it here. Is it really the drug? I mean, anything you buy online that doesn't have a physician, at least the compounding pharmacies, usually, if you don't have telehealth with a physician, you don't even know what you're getting from the compounding pharmacy. Wow. Or wherever you're buying it online. But that drug is probably not going to be that much different. I think the big issue is that I think both drugs are fine. I prefer the tirzepatide because you have a little bit more weight loss with it.
You mentioned about tirzepatide too, that you don't get the sunken in face. That's not one of the side effects.
Oh, you can.
Okay.
Again, on any of these drugs, you lose too much weight.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, they're trying to lose weight in a certain area, but our body is programmed to hold it in that area. So right. The last place you're going to, let's say it's abdominal love handles. You go on a diet, the last place you're going to lose it is abdominal love handles. first place you're going to gain it is abdomen love handles, because that's the way our body's programmed to survive. So when they try to do these drugs to do that, they're way beyond overshooting their overall weight health. And they still don't get rid of it.
Yeah.
And that's
a hard place to get rid of it, even if you have abs, because there's always a layer over there when you get over 30, 40.
That's why we're programmed for that. Even after 40, we normally, male and female, you retain your fat to muscle ratio increases. You have more fat to muscle every decade as we age. Yeah. So unless you're doing something to build that muscle or eliminate that fat, that continues.
Yeah. I think people overthink it too. Like to your point of the woman you mentioned that just didn't want to go to the gym. And just going to the gym can just be a walk on the treadmill or just going for a walk, but just being mobile, I think, is key. And with weights too. It doesn't have to be racking weights. It can be dumbbells. People would be surprised. I get a lot of great workouts in with 15-pound dumbbells, 10-pound dumbbells.
Right. Light. Endurance.
Yeah, endurance. Yeah.
You know, heavy weights, as you know, are bulk.
Yeah.
But endurance are the lighter weights and the more reps. That is metabolically more health than the bulk weights.
I recently just got into the bands. Have you ever tried the resistance bands? These are great. Like I never thought I would
injured myself.
Them.
I have, but not for a workout.
I recently just started mixing those in, just for stretching and just mobility. Wow. Because I have, as you know, because I've seen you for my hamstring injury before, and I had come in for a treatment, and I was trying to build my legs and my quads because I had injured myself squatting, and this was back in 2016, and I was having some trouble with my legs. That was a weak point for me, and learning about the bands from physical therapy was kind of how I found my way into that. But it's kind of, it's interesting as I've gotten older because you kind of phase out the heavier weights and just go for strength training.
Well, the other thing that I think is becoming more prevalent is not just the bands, but the kettlebells.
Yeah, yes.
Rather than sitting there, like you said, pounding out the maximum weight you can,
right.
The kettlebells, the bands, strengthening, mobility,
yep.
Hugely important.
Yes. And I also mix in martial arts toys like a bow staff and things like that. And just that's great mobility for me. It is. You just turn on the music and move.
Especially for women. I think that what's not promoted as much as it should be is muscle strength builds bone. So as your muscles become, as you have less muscle mass, you get more demineralization of your bone.
Yeah.
So if you're promoting that muscle mass with exercise, with strength training, you're actually solidifying that bone more. You know, statistically, if you're over the age of 65 and you fracture your hip, 30% one-year mortality.
Yeah, wow.
That's a huge number.
Yes.
And that just doesn't have to be.
Right. Definitely nutrition and strength training, I think, is key.
So the other thing, you know, you also have to look at the cost of these programs. I mean, we have tiered costs, but basically what we do, and I think is very important, is everybody is different. You know, some people have the affordability and want to do everything they possibly can. Fine, we could accommodate that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the average person. Now, the average person, you need to focus on their core weaknesses, try to make those better. But even at that, just doing some people just from affordability, doing the weight loss and eliminating the fat, and then in stages, if you want to add those other things, go to the muscle building. This isn't something that you have to do in a fixed period of time. I think the most important thing to do is get the fat muscle ratio down, eliminate the fat permanently. And you can do that. We have a program, one of our programs, I think it starts at $1,500 for a 3-month program.
Wow.
That's the fat reduction, permanent fat loss, and the weight loss.
Yeah.
Again, this is a lifestyle change. This is health and wellness into the future. So I think some people think they have to do it. If you don't do it this way, you can't do it at all.
Right.
Or if I go on this, it's going to come right back somewhere else. Or if I do, those things just aren't true. And
if before they get on a program like you offer too, I think a good first step might just be kind of focusing in on the nutrition and what can you cut out. I was just talking with a nutritionalist yesterday about soda. I cut out soda years ago and that made me feel great. And that wasn't even something that put on weight for me because, like I said, I just genetically was a thin, lean person. And, but I know a lot of people that had massive success in just starting point of cutting out soda. Huge.
I think there's, most of us can have dietary improvement.
Yeah.
And I think that, like we said before, that's not only what you eat, but when you eat it.
Yeah.
And those are two huge factors that are really easy to change. And yeah, that's a great starting point.
With consistency. And then you have a leg up getting into your program because you're already consistent. You already have some consistency and control back of your life, just taking over your nutrition. Then you're going to be able to manage your weight loss much better. You're going to have a better success rate.
And as people lose weight, as they start exercising, it's incredible within those 2 to 3 months how all of a sudden they realize, wow, I feel better.
Yeah.
And if you feel better and you're doing more, there's more of an incentive to maintain it.
Yes. That's what it was like for me taking my first steps. Just, I learned about nutrition. I taught myself, you know, going to the grocery store and learning the produce section and just walking up and down the aisles and studying them. I took the time to do it and I focused on that and cut, you know, fast food out of my life. Cause growing up, you know, just generationally, McDonald's and Burger King and all these things right. that we see and our parents, you know, give us access to at certain points. Luckily, that wasn't a huge part of my childhood. Those were treats, not our way of life. But yeah, just kind of getting off that train, that fast food train, that was huge for me in my work environment too, because when you're working around people, their habits become yours. And so like when it's lunchtime and you're working with a group of folks and then everyone's going here to get that food, you're going too. And then the next thing you know, you've picked up their habits, their eating habits. And then, of course.
And then even if you're not putting on the weight, it's a toll on your mental health, brain fog. You don't feel good. You're not focused. You feel lazy and lethargic. That's what it did to me. And then once I cut all that out, it was like, whew, the fog lifted. That's another aspect that I'd say maybe 5 or 10% of our patients we see, that there's a lot of inflammatory and autoimmune diseases. Obesity plays a big part of that. But then so do diseases such as chronic Lyme disease or chronic fatigue syndrome. And there's certain diets that are beneficial for those. There's a diet called a low histamine diet. You know, every piece of the puzzle is going to be different.
Yeah.
If someone's not progressing really well, okay, what are we missing? What do we have to change? How are we going to get to that end point? I really believe everybody can get to the end point.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a matter of picking out where we're missing something. And I think that's where the weekly visits become part. Sometimes a weekly visit's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 15 minutes just talking about things in general.
Yeah.
Sometimes going into the health and the diet aspect of it.
Well, you care and you have a great bedside manner because I've been, you know, seeing you for years.
Thank you.
And, you know, to your point about the autoimmune and diet, you know, I had struggled with my diagnosis with alopecia areata. And that hits me from time to time. And that was a huge game changer for me to be truly committed and consistent with my nutrition, because that was the only way to really take that over. There's no cure for that. You have to make a lifestyle change. Like you right. have to, if you want to, you know, take control of that. And that was a game changer also, because there were ebbs and flows that I went through. I told you, you know, when I was starting at my business, I faced a lot of adversity and I underwent a lot of stress, and that took a toll and that changed my eating habits. And, you know, then I would consume alcohol, and not on a regular basis, but binge drinking, and then just succumbing to the fast food chains. You know, that doesn't number on your body and your mental health overall. And then I experienced on top of that all the stress, and then, you know, ultimately alopecia, which that's another treatment you guys offer is PRP, isn't that right?
We do.
Yes. Which that's not only for alopecia areata. Athletes use that for ligaments.
PRP has been around in orthopedic surgery since the 90s.
Yeah.
We used it in vascular and coronary artery surgery for bleeding issues post-surgically to reduce the need of blood.
Yeah.
PRP has been around a long time. There is a product that's called PRP-FM. It's a It's the regular PRP. What PRP is basically you're drawing your blood and you're using the plasma fraction. It's the platelets in the plasma that actually have all the functionality. Mm-hmm. They have all the growth factors. So, but if you draw a tube of blood, about 40% of it is the plasma fraction, that yellow fraction there. But the platelet fraction is just that little tiny millimeter or two on the top. So the reason you use the whole plasma fraction is so you mix those millions of platelets into the whole solution. Otherwise, if you just drew that little bit off, you'd be putting 1,000 or two here. And so it's a matter of using that PRP. So that's what the platelet-rich plasma does. And then there's usually those platelets are functional for about 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And when you do look at what they used to have, the vampire facelift, those things, they're using microneedling PRP. Then a company out east came up with a product where they actually use a secondary step, which is calcium-based, so it stabilizes that platelet fraction once you've drawn the blood, so your plates are functional wherever you put them for almost a week. So you have much better results with it, with the PRP-FM.
I had to get a little PRP in my face, too, because my alopecia was, turning towards totalis, it seemed. And I was losing my eyebrows, my beard. I get patches on my beard every now and again, too. And
PRP does wonders.
Yeah, it does. So I was having to get it in my face. And so I was kind of getting the vampire facial. I didn't even know what that was until I think you told me. Yeah. But yeah, the benefits were good, you know, for me.
Oh, it's great. I mean,
different people have different results.
Occasionally we'll use it for women who've overplucked their eyebrows, and it works pretty well in most people.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's a great product.
Yeah, mine were falling out.
Yeah, and the aesthetics realm has really, I think, to a large part, taken over the weight loss things. But really aesthetics is, you know, when you look at longevity, aesthetics is the face of longevity.
Yeah.
But muscle is the functionality, the basis of longevity.
Yeah.
So the core. So that's really form and function, exactly. And that's really where all this, I think, needs to go and is going.
Yeah.
I think over time, there's going to be more and more people doing this. I'm not aware of anyone that's doing it this way right now. I'm sure there are some people. Most people now are using the equipment because, like with the Neo, you get technically 30% fat loss with the Neo.
Right.
So they're using the Neo with the weight loss program. The devices for the permanent fat loss to me are very secondary because they work okay. But again, when you're talking about 30%, you're talking about 30% of a range.
Right.
Really, the cornerstone to this is really the emulsifying the fat through injections in the body, just absorbs it and eliminates it, just like a bruise.
Yeah.
That, to me, makes all the difference in the world, not only as far as cost, but time to loss of the fat and sustainability. So the equipment works fine, but the emulsification works a lot better.
Yeah. Well, I like that you take the time with your patients, and I can give a testimony to that because we always have a great conversation. It's like we have a podcast every time I come to see you. And no, you do have a great bedside manner. And I had found my way to you actually after I had lost my doctor, my alopecia doctor that was treating me, and he just had the best bedside manner, and he went on to different things from the practice he was working for, which didn't surprise me, so I wished him all the best, but I just didn't have anybody until you that was like him. So that was great for me because really taking the time. I mean, a lot of people are very cynical about doctors and medical care these days just because they don't feel they feel validated or heard, and you're very validating person, and you listen. Yeah, I know that you listen to your patients and you want to guide them down the right path versus sell them, you know, snake oil or something that wouldn't be a good fit for them.
Well, you know, I originally got into this part of the field. You're always led down a path for a reason. But anyway, I always went into this as a boutique operation, small scale, one location, because yes, it's always been patient care, whether it was back in general surgery or cardiovascular surgery, the interface with the patient was huge.
Yeah.
Extremely important. If you didn't have that rapport, that interface, or that trust, you really didn't always have good outcomes. So I think that's just carried over.
Yeah.
And this is fun.
Yeah. And you've never lost it. And I think that that's fantastic. I think that you make a great mentor for a lot of folks, you know,
well, thank you.
In the industry. And so I think that's fantastic. And I think your patients are lucky to have you. And now for the audience, you're based in Birmingham, Michigan, and you have an Instagram and a website.
Yes.
The Instagram is New Image NU Image.
Yes. NUIMAGE.
Yep.
And New Image Med Spa.
And the website is the same?
Yes.
Yep. Perfect. And so what does it look like when somebody wants to begin a weight loss program with you at New Image?
Well, regardless of what we do in aesthetics, we don't charge for consultations. So usually the first thing to do is to make an appointment. Mm-hmm. Go on the website. We have quite a bit on there to give you a good idea of what we do. And then come in for a consultation and see if it's a fit.
Yeah.
Not only if it's a fit, but what's the fit? You know, do we want this part of it? Do we need this part of it? I've got one gentleman that he's actually, we have a few other things there too. We have the med spa, we have the vein center. And so through that, I have one gentleman who's physically in great shape, but he used to be a runner. He's 75. Now he's walking the dog a little faster. So he doesn't need any fat loss, doesn't need any weight loss. So we're strictly going to start doing quads and glutes. He needs to get back into running again.
Yeah.
He has no cardiovascular risk whatsoever, no diabetes, no hepatorenal disease. He's going to live to 95.
Yeah.
So he's saying, wait a minute, I'm slowing down. This is a natural part of aging, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, right.
So, and I told him, I said, Rich, you know, you do a series of these, you do four of them. And then about every 5 years, you look at doing them again.
Yeah.
That'll keep your activity level up and keep your strength up. And I think if you do that, then that goes a long way to longevity.
Yeah. My family has those genes too. So everyone lives to be late 80s, 90s. And so I feel that coming. And so that's why I like to focus on those things, I made those lifestyle changes years ago and try to do my best to, you know, keep consistent. Now on the vein side of things, varicose veins, you guys treat varicose veins.
Varicose veins, most of that's insurance-based. The sclerotherapy for the spider veins. I've been doing veins forever.
Yeah.
Since my residency.
So. Now, how does that start? Like, where do varicose veins kind of...
If you just have a small spot, like a small blush of veins on your legs somewhere.
Yeah.
Usually that's from an injury.
Okay.
We see it more in younger women now because the amount of kids that played soccer.
Yeah, wow.
You get kicked, you get hit enough, and eventually you damage those veins, and over the years, 10, 15 years later, all of a sudden you're seeing these little spider veins there. Mm-hmm. If you have them more diffusely and larger, usually that's genetic. It can skip a generation, but usually that's a genetic type thing. And once veins start weakening and leaking, there's no way to reverse that. So we either do, for the varicose veins, now it's become a very easy treatment. We went anywhere from years ago pulling them out and stripping them to lasers and radio frequency devices. And now we simply inject a medication in there.
Really?
In about 15 minutes, take care of the main vein. That shuts down the swelling and the main problems. And then we treat the other ones with sclerotherapy.
Wow.
It's really evolved over the last 10 years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had that problem. I've got the veins in my biceps. That's about it, but we want those.
Yeah, you want the bigger veins. We eliminate hand veins and feet veins. Those aren't necessary. But,
yeah.
But no, really, it's just more of a functional capacity type
thing. Oh, really? Hand veins? Yeah, you do that too?
Oh.
Interesting.
Frequently.
I've never.
Especially women, because as they get older,
yeah.
You know, you start losing a little volume there.
Sure.
Some people will put fillers in, but fillers are just going to. Problem with fillers is they're going to last a year or two, and you're going to have to keep doing them, keep doing them, keep doing them. So that ends up being thousands of dollars.
Right.
You know, for less than $1,000, you can eliminate the hand veins.
Right.
On both hands.
Yeah.
So.
See, that's why I like you, because you'll guide someone down the right path. If they want to spend the money on it, it's their prerogative, but you offer good sound advice.
And you want to keep things more natural. We use fillers a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah.
Aesthetically. Gotcha. Because anytime you do those types of things, but we're getting into another whole topic here, but anytime you get into those types of things, it becomes an annual or biannual problem.
Yes.
And if there are other ways to do it that are less expensive and longer more natural, longer lasting, it's a better way to go.
Yeah, that's great. So you guys have any promotionals running right now?
Well, actually, tomorrow night we're actually doing a talk at the office on the Body Perfect program.
Perfect.
And that's good. We'll be giving a discount there. And then we usually do our open house, which everything is now online ever since COVID. Our open house is May and October, and that everything we have is on sale during those 2 weeks. It's all over the internet. We send emails out to our email list, and all the prices are on it. Botox and fillers we do March and September. That way they can always, all year round, they can have it at a discount if they just partake in that.
Perfect.
So, and
that's, well, May's just around the corner, so May's, what a great time for the podcast. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll do an aesthetic sometime.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're always welcome back here, and I know we have other topics to cover too on other great projects that you're working on that we'll touch on when you come back. But yeah, that's fantastic. You guys have a good program.
I think this is probably one of the more rewarding programs, the Body Perfect, because I think it's wellness.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's health and wellness.
Yes. I think a lot of people are really starting to pay attention right now, because with everything kind of going up the way that it is, you know, it's more expensive to go out to eat now more than ever, you know, and to dine out. And I think that people are finding their way to preparing meals at home. And so if you can control that, you know, that's the first step. It's huge. Yeah. Just take control back and then start with the Body Perfect program after. It's the way to go.
Exactly.
Yes. I love it. Well, thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time.
And this is just like being in the office, only we have microphones.
Yes, exactly. I say, oh my gosh, I love it. I can't wait to have you back to cover more topics, and definitely any promotions that you're running, we'll make sure that we do reels for those.
All right.
The shorts. Appreciate it. Yeah. I enjoy watching your Instagram too. You have a great Instagram and you have a great presence on there.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Dr. Greg Derdarian, that's a wrap.